no foundation for it. But what's interesting, I have a friend of mine that's just starting to read the Federalist Papers, and it's just amazing to see someone so excited. You know, like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. They get so excited about it. But this goes beyond the Federalist Papers back to, and I'm going to mention biblical doctrine. Well, thou shalt not be diverse weights and measures in thy bag and property, and the initial function of government. One must understand that there is no such thing as a constitutional right. Rights don't come from man. They don't come from the Constitution. They don't come from nature. They come from God. So then we have to look at, well, if it comes from God, how is it a right? Well, because it can only be a right if it comes from God. Property, the ability to do what one wants to do with his particular tangible thing, that comes from God. So now that we've established that, God also directs us to protect ourselves, our children, and our families. That piece of property we use to protect ourselves, our children, and our families in this country happens to be, in many cases, a gun, some cases a knife, and other things. It doesn't say gun, even though there were guns in the Second Amendment. It says arms, armaments, property. Therefore, the founders understood that this was an inalienable, God-given authority from God to man that was to be recognized in an amendment. Not given, not taken away, recognized. The founders all knew this because they were men of history. The founders wanted to ensure that this new federal government they were creating, because remember, there was turmoil between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, would never, ever, ever have the ability to even basically discuss arms. It wasn't even open for discussion.
Well,
moot.
Well, I want to get back to this thing about this. No, they're saying if it's involved in commerce, interstate commerce. Actually, I think I can't remember Marbury versus Madison, but I have read some Supreme Court decisions, and it might have been Marbury versus Madison, where it was really transportation on basically waterways that go between states.
Well, in Marbury, they're talking about there's a clear distinction between an individual and a corporation.
Okay.
And their excuse always is, or their reason always is, you've taken on this corporate privilege enfranchisement. You're now under the Uniform Commercial Code or some sort of admiralty law or jurisdiction, and primarily contract and UCC, where they say the Constitution isn't even at issue here.
Right. It's law merchant, and it would be who's got jurisdiction for the court.
And it's interesting, though, the law merchant now is this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the law merchant becoming part of you and me.
Right.
When you get a mortgage for your house, that's law merchant, right?
Right.
Now, people don't even understand. You can talk to lawyers. They don't know what law merchant is. You know, I'd love to hear you do a show on that one day.
Well, that's kind of heady. I mean, I've known enough to make myself dangerous with regard to law merchant, right. But
we need to go back beyond that and say, okay, it started with McCulloch v. Maryland with the idea that Congress believed they had the authority to create all of these governmental agencies, organizations, administrative and otherwise. And therefore, since we're here, now that weapons are part of, or armament are part of interstate commerce, they can there regulate that. And by the way, that's how they get away with laws regarding who you may and may not have to serve in your restaurant, because their argument is you purchased a refrigerator basically through interstate commerce, therefore it's regulated.
Okay.
But this is one thing that's important to understand. It is not legal. It is not constitutional. And I would debate someone on this issue, a scholar, a professional, anyone, one-on-one with five independent individuals, and if they beat me, I'll give them 1,000 coins, silver dollars, because they can't win. Because the government, the Congress, is limited by Article 1, Section 8, period.
And, yes, and Section 9, which tells them what they can't do. I mean, Section 8 tells them what they can do. That's their privileges. And then Section 9 is their prohibitions. So as I'm just, as you've been talking here, I'm looking up the prohibitions. And you're right. I mean, I'm leaning to the point of you being right that I don't see anything that grants them the authority to write laws that have anything to do with interstate commerce. Now, it may be that a federal court could take jurisdiction over a controversy, between states.
Yeah, they can't even do that.
Well, I know in there are certain things in Article 3 that give them the ability to deal with people when there's a when there's a legitimate common law or even law merchant conflict.
Right, but that's common law. Though.
Right, right, between parties.
Right.
But as I'm looking through this, it's prohibiting states from taxing each other at the borders.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I don't have not yet, and I'm going to read it again, really see anything here that empowers the United States to make laws and say it's going to apply to you because of commerce.
Right, what about the
I'm going to go to the Commerce Clause. You keep talking, and I'm going to look it up.
One of the things people miss is that, well, we need the Supreme Court to interpret it. Anything that has to be interpreted will be noted as void for vagueness. There is nothing that is ambiguous in our Constitution of the United States. And anyone that's listening to us who has not read it, turn your radio off. I don't even want you listening. Okay, maybe you want to listen.
Yeah, turn your radio off on any other show.
I'm being facetious here to the extent that read your Constitution. It's
right.
Not that long. Read your Bill of Rights. It was written for a sixth grader. Okay, read it. Every single thing is clear. When you read it, you'll go, this is simple. This is a great system. If it's followed, it'll work because it keeps the people in control. But there is nothing ambiguous in the Constitution. So when the Supreme Court, when a lawyer tells you the Supreme Court has to interpret the Constitution, that lawyer is ignorant. There's no interpretation of the Constitution necessary. What it does is it takes the statute and puts it up against the Constitution to understand the applicability of
yes.
the statute, whether it falls within
right.
constitutional realm.
They really they have to sit and figure out how does it apply? Where does the law apply based on the facts?
In the most narrow scope.
Right. And the most narrow, the better.
Right. And guess what? Guess what? Most people understand this. Precedent is not legal because every case is individual. So when someone cites the Supreme Court and says, well, you know, in Julian versus Graham and the Supreme, I don't care.
Right.
This is how the Founding Fathers envisioned it. You ready, Mike? You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Ready, David?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mr. X, you've been charged with carrying a arm, we're going to call it an arm, without a license. Really? License is permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. I go in front of the first jurist, the district justice, at common law. And he looks at the prosecutor and says, Mr. Prosecutor, what Mr. X has been charged with, carrying an armament without a license, and he looks and says, Second Amendment says shall not be infringed.
Right.
Not only is this dismissed, if you bring it before me one more time, I'm going to hold you in contempt.
Right, and the other thing is, if you shot somebody, you're held accountable for the attack.
For the attack?
Yeah, who cares what you used to do it? Right. It's just like if you spit on somebody or call them a bad name, or shoot him or hit him over the head with an axe.
Right. David, that same friend of mine that's reading the Federalist Papers is jury duty. And he said to me, well, you know, the judge said that he'll just instruct us in the law, and if the facts, warrant it, we find him guilty. I said, what kind of case? He says, well, it's a battery case. I said, so, because battery in Florida is me touching you. Just touching you.
Okay.
You don't want to be touched. But I said, if that was presented that somebody just touched another person, you'd find them guilty. What about this? No, you don't. Something called jury lawlessness, where we are the people are always supposed to be in control in our republic.
And because essentially, I put it this way, it's sort of like appealing to Caesar. You know, okay, here's a court, here's a statute, but I appeal to Caesar, which is the people. And a group of reasonable people to look at this situation, and they ultimately are the law. Because they, by their mind, they're accountable to God, and they know you and the circumstance. They can make it, and they know the legislature. So, you know what I mean? So it literally is an appeal to Caesar to make a final determination. And that's why if you go to a jury, an appeals court isn't supposed to be able to review what they decide, because you've appealed to a higher authority. And now, historically, you can read this in the statutes that if you look at the rules of court, if a jury decides a certain thing, then that's it. Too bad, so sad. You didn't have to submit yourself to Caesar, just like Paul didn't have to submit himself to Caesar. He ended up getting his head cut off.
In America, in a crime, when you don't create a damage. So that's one thing that defined us from any other nation in the world when we were founded. Is the only way anything could be determined to be a crime is when there was a damage. So how can one be considered a criminal when they didn't damage anyone? Well, how does that happen?
Hey, we got to come back tomorrow, folks, with the Faith and Freedom Show. That was a good call. And you can tune into our website, faithfreedoms.org. Check out some of our podcasts and be entertained there. Share it with your friends. Bring a friend back tomorrow. I dare you. And keep tuning in to the Eagle 104.3 FM, and we're going to return, Lord willing.